All right, well, for tonight, Good Friday, we are going to have a special presentation for the reading of the Word tonight. So, Steve, if you want to hit that.
Hi, I'm Nate. Please stand if you can't. It's okay. John 19:18. They crucified Jesus. They also crucified to an American, one on his side. Thank you.
Thank you, son. That's my guy. Took us a few takes to piece that together. But we had a wonderful, wonderful time doing that this week. Good evening. Good evening. So today is a bittersweet day for us as followers of Jesus. We remember this day and call it good because of what it affords us, or we call it good because of what it affords us, of what it allows us, not because of what it costs God. Good Friday is the fulfillment of many Old Testament prophecies, yet more than that, it's the day our Savior endured the most excruciating sacrifice, the most excruciating death for all of mankind, for all time. So tonight, rather than retell the story that most of us are very familiar with, I want to take a fresh look at this scene here, offer up some insights for reflection. Every time I prepare any kind of message or speech or anything else that I'm doing where I'm speaking, I like to do this thing called a six-word summary. It's a challenge that I take to try to boil the whole thing down into six words. And tonight's six-word summary is this: the hardest choice has no middle. The hardest choice has no middle. I made it. Yes. Last time it was seven. So I got close. So my hope here tonight is that diving into God's Word, you would be as inspired, as encouraged, and as challenged as I was in taking a closer look at Calvary. So let's pray. God, thank you for what you've already done in this place. Thank you for this church. Thank you for all that have gone before us, all the pastors, the leaders, the congregants, all the vision, all the faithfulness that has been sowed into this church, into this ground. We are benefactors of that faithfulness, and we thank you for it. We honor them. We thank you for our pastor, Pastor Mike, and Sally, and our pastoral staff, elders, deacons, just everybody that is a part of Living Hope Church that's here tonight especially, but all the parts of our body that are all over the world even tonight just serving you. We love you. We thank you. We ask you to help us to hear from you clearly. Open our ears, our minds, and our hearts to receive what you have for us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So growing up, I was really privileged to have a loving and highly supportive group of parents, though we definitely had our unique challenges between being a brittle type 1 diabetic, as I am for now 44 years, and my brother Chip. He had constant health and wellness battles. But I honestly look back pretty fondly at my formative years. Now, my dad is an incredible guy. I can't even say my dad without smiling. He is an incredible guy. Here he is in his early 30s with my brother Chip. So that's my brother Chip. He's in his early 30s. I'm 47, so I'm just saying, right? We look the same, but if I look at my dad today, I have a good idea how it might turn out. So I'm using a lot of face lotion and stuff. I need a lot of help. But my dad is, without a doubt, the funniest person that I know. He is also very supportive. He is so encouraging. He brought me to baseball practices and games and music lessons and performances and all sorts, all over. And he has been in my corner cheering every step of the way. Does anybody else have like someone like that in your family? I'm so supportive of you. Man, what a blessing that is. But back when I was known as Jimmy Koshin, there are eras of my life. In college, I became James. In high school and middle school, I was Jim. And at Baird, as a Baird B, I was Jimmy. So when someone addresses me by one of those names, I can either get very nervous or very happy to see them. So back when I was Jimmy, that was a pretty safe time. One night, our neighbor, Kathy Clabbett, she was babysitting, and I thought it would be hilarious if I ordered a couple of Supreme pizzas for the next door neighbors without paying and without their knowledge. So I watched from the front window very eagerly as the confusion unfolded and the pizza delivery person very frustratingly took the pizzas back, right? This is before the days where you had to pay before they delivered the pizzas, right? Anybody remember that? So I was so amused at what unfolded there. I thought it would be an amazing idea that maybe the neighbors across the street might need some pizza too. So I ordered them some pizza, and then I continued to work my way through the neighborhood ordering pizzas for literally all the Koshin neighbors on Emma Lane Drive. Now, when the next day arrived, it wasn't too hard to figure out what happened because all the neighbors chatted. I didn't realize that neighbors chatted at that time, okay? But they all chatted, and they realized that the only house without a pizza delivery was the Koshin house. So I was caught red-handed. They knew it was Jimmy Koshin. And I had to pick a side real quick. Mom or dad? Mom or dad. Now remember, my dad is one cool cat. Man, this guy is so cool. He's loving and he's kind and he's all that good stuff. But if you had to guess, or maybe you were in little Jimmy's shoes that day, which would you have chosen, mom or dad? Without a doubt, me too, mom. No question. Now, to put a bow on the story, if you're wondering, even though I did choose mom, she made me give my entire allowance from my piggy bank, okay? My entire life savings from my piggy bank, which amounted to slightly under $20 in coins, along with an in-person apology to the pizza places. That was tough. So at that time, choosing a side, you know, it wasn't started by little Jimmy, all right? Certainly waiting until the final moments before choosing a side isn't new either, but it's most certainly never wise, right? You don't want to wait until the last possible minute to choose a side. Now, the story of the crucifixion reveals a choice between sides as well, and that's the title of tonight's message, Choose a Side. So our main verse tonight, delivered powerfully. Now, I'm a little biased, but I think that was one of the most powerful readings we've ever had in this church. Amen. And all the Koshins said amen. Amen. That is one of the most godly little men that I know. My son, Nate. God works through him in very pure and powerful ways, and God teaches me so many great things about his own character through my son, about love and forgiveness and interdependence and gratitude. I could go on, but I better stop before I get teary up here. So, but the verse is from, as Nate said, John 19:18. And we had captions. I understand that the crosses might have inhibited you from seeing those, but it's John 19:18. It's interesting to note that the story in what we call the Gospels. So if you're not familiar with church or churchy language, the Gospels are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're not all identical accounts of what happened at Calvary. They are complementary accounts. So we can then piece together a more accurate view by harmonizing them, right? Putting them together, meaning layering or referencing each one to get a more clear picture. So let's take a look at a parallel verse here in Luke. There were also two criminals led out with Jesus to be put to death. Let's take a deeper look at the hearts of the three men on the crosses tonight. You might say, well, Pastor James, how can we know their hearts? Well, the Word of God tells us that out of the abundance, the heart speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. One version says it even more simply and more beautifully in my mind. People speak the things that are in their hearts. That's God's word. That's on target, isn't it? That's relevant for today, isn't it? Mark 15:32 says, even the men who were crucified with Jesus ridiculed and insulted him. So with that in mind, here's some of the dialogue as recorded in the Gospels. So you're the Messiah? Are you? Prove it. By saving yourself and us too while you're at it. They spat. They mocked. Cruel words. Such as, let this Messiah, this King of Israel, come down from the cross so we can see it and believe him. Let's pause here just for a moment. These two men are hanging on crosses on each side of Jesus. It's a public display of brutality. And here are these criminals, and yet they have the audacity to join the fevered pitch of the crowd, spewing various insults as Jesus, as they hang on a cross. Save yourself. I thought you were a king. We need you now. Do something. You've worked all these miracles. Work a miracle now. All three are in exactly the same predicament. Now, everything in the Bible is there on purpose. Did you know that? Every word that is written on purpose. We might not know what it is. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I get into Leviticus and Numbers, I say, God, I know there's a purpose here, but I'm struggling to keep my eyes open to see it. We're not ready for that level of honesty yet. Okay, that's cool. All right, that's fine. That's fine. There's a reason for everything. And in here in this pivotal moment in world history, not even Christian history, not church history, not even Bible history, world history, this pivotal crossroad in world history, these two criminals hanging next to Jesus on each side biblically are unnamed. Now that fact is not together uncommon, as there are many other unnamed important people in the Bible. The woman at the well, pretty important person. The woman from Canaan who needs help with her child, really, really important. Many more. Now, for me, it's often easier to relate to the nameless people than the named. I can't help but wonder if maybe these criminals on the right and on the left of Jesus are unnamed in God's word for that very reason. If their names were given, it might be really easy for me or for you to dismiss them as, well, that's not like me. That's not my name. I can't relate to them. But as it is, in God's holy word, they are unnamed. They could be any name. Could be my name. Could be yours. And honestly, it's not hard for me to imagine being one of those two crucified next to Jesus. I have committed some of those very same sins people of that time were killed for. So I put myself right there, paying the due penalty for my wrongs. But I want you to pause for a moment and consider your own sin. The ways that you have rejected Jesus, offended God, and hurt others. See, we are all thieves on the crosses. Every single one of us is born a criminal. You might say, but I'm not like you, Pastor James. I'm not on CCAP. Three people know what that means. That is so awesome. And yet, where are my people? Love me anyway. All right? Okay, I get what kind of people you are. That's cool. I never drive more than 70 miles an hour on I-43 South. Oh, okay. Lost you on that one, huh? Okay. You might say, I've been faithful. I've never lied. I've never cheated. I've never stolen. I've led a good life. I'm a good person. That's a trap. Being a good person is a trap. Because you're going to try to fit Jesus into your good person life. Because you're doing a lot of good things, and Jesus is another good thing, so I can work him in with all the other altruistic good ideas and good philosophies and good things that I'm doing. I'll just work Jesus in, and I'll pick and choose this part. But I pretty much got it figured out. I need him for this little part, but mostly I got it. That's a trap. Maybe that idea has led to some elevated sense of your own self-worth. Yeah, I might have missed the boat a little bit, but not nearly as bad as Pastor James. Did you hear that guy? He said he's on CCAP. Oh, my goodness. How do I get to CCAP, and what is he talking about? Somebody look this up, all right? Maybe you've judged people. How about that? We like to talk about other things in the church. How about that one right there? I don't know about you, but I can't get a free pass on that one. Judge people on both sides of the cross. Both sides of Jesus. Both sides of the aisle. Both sides of town. We are born law breakers. Every person in here was born a criminal, including my precious son Nathan. We all need rescuing. We are criminals who have broken God's law. Now, I used to think of my sin as more like petty crime. I reasoned it's not right, a lot of what I do, but it's not that wrong. But there's no such thing as mild sin. It's not like Doritos. You know what I mean? The spicy. And I got signed up on this thing through McCormick, you know, the spice company. You guys know what McCormick is, right? Okay, so I don't know how I found it. I found it on Reddit or something. And it's like, well, they'll pay you to taste test McCormick. Like, what are you talking about? So I signed up, and Jill does all the cooking. I don't know squat about cooking anything except burgers on the grill. But they, you know, sure enough. So a couple of weeks ago, they send me these three little vacuum NASA sealed bags with hot, super hot, and never taste your taste buds again Cheetos. And you gotta try them out. And I tried one, and I was like, oh my, I don't eat hot food. I was like, ah, that was the mild one. You know, I'm like, Jill, you're gonna have to do this for me, and we'll split the Amazon gift card. Because I'm not cut out for this kind of work. Sin is not like that. Sin is not like that. Which brings us back to the scene at the cross. As we stated earlier, both thieves, they are opposed to Jesus at first, at about 9 a.m. when the crucifixion start. They're just with the rest of the crowd, hurling insults, making him a little lower than them. But now, listen to the words of one of the thieves. One side of the cross of Jesus. As the day wore on, as the hours ticked by, the suffering lingered, and their lives on earth were nearing the end. One of them had a change of heart. Listen closely to his plea as he addresses the other criminal in desperation. Don't you fear God? You received the same sentence that he did. Ours, however, is only right because we were getting what we deserve for what we did. But he has done no wrong. Now, why would this criminal have that kind of clarity? All three of them are suffering for hours on end. There's no record of the Sermon on the Cross. The crucifixion is chronicled in all four Gospels. Yet there's no preaching here from Jesus about repentance? Yet this man, on one side of Jesus, is showing remarkable perception. He's seen the way that others have made fun of Jesus. He even participated in it. Yet he also saw the one response that causes eternities to change. He saw and heard Jesus respond in love. Jesus did not condemn his accusers. He didn't banish them. He didn't scorn them to hell's fury. He heard Jesus ask his Father to forgive them. And that sinner said to Jesus, "Remember me, Jesus, when you come as king." Jesus said, "Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them all. My betrayer, my accuser, the blasphemers, forgive them." He's pleading for them in his suffering. Some of us have a hard time understanding the scripture, but how Jesus makes intercession in heaven for us, his children, his beloved children that by faith have accepted him and received him. And here he is on the cross. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." They don't know what they're doing. And Jesus said to him, "I promise you today that you will be with me in paradise." Both of these criminals started in the same spot, on the same side. They both opposed Jesus, but in time, one made a different choice. The other did not. One chose humility and repentance. The other did not. Yet Jesus died for both of them. Whether or not they accepted him, Jesus still died the same for both of them. And Jesus died for all of them. For the Sanhedrin, for Pilate, all of them, for the Romans that pierced his wrists and his feet, the ones that screwed in the crown of thorns, Jesus died for them. All of them. All of us. And that is what we are left to reckon with on this Good Friday. Choose a side. It's your choice. And it will be your choice until you breathe your last breath. You'll have a choice. After your last breath, there's no more choosing. So which side of the cross will you choose? The two thieves are the two sides. One, acknowledging Jesus as Lord and surrendering to him to spend an eternity with him, while the other does not. Which one are you? Choose a side. Let's close in prayer. Jesus, thank you for speaking to us through your word, through your life, your love, and your sacrifice. Give us courage to be honest in who we are as we ask for faith to trust in who you've always been. Please give us courage to choose the side that would be seen and remembered by you in your kingdom and your family, together with you one day forever in heaven. In your name, amen.